Insight with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody, on this lovely Wednesday evening. Let's see, what's the date, Neil? April what? Fourth? Fifth.
Fifth.
The 5th of April. We welcome in studio three lovely ladies. Miss Carly Stogler, the Fort Recovery High School MD teacher.
That is correct.
Okay. Amy Klingshern, who is the art teacher at Fort Recovery Schools.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Hawk, who is...
I'm a lot of things. I actually, in my day job, work for the Soil and Water Conservation District.
That's what I thought. And I tell you what, April is National Autism Month, and each of you have personal experiences, either through the schools or through your home life, that deal with autism on a daily basis. So we're going to... spend the next hour or so talking about autism. What should we be aware of? What should we look for? What's your experiences and how it affects our, especially your lives on a daily basis. So, Carly, let's start with you and give us a little bit of background on your teaching career and how you became involved.
Well, I started teaching when, I got my bachelor's in early childhood education, and through my student teaching experiences, I've always encountered some student with autism, and I taught preschool last year in a special needs preschool, and we did have... we did have a student with autism there, and now I work at Fort Recovery High School, and I have an autistic student in my classroom. So, yeah.
Amy, what about you?
Go ahead.
First, your teaching background, and then how you've been affected by autism.
Okay. I teach art for the kindergartners through the fifth graders, all the seventh graders, and half of the eighth graders at Fort Recovery. And I've only ever taught at Fort Recovery, which is kind of interesting. And my twins are on the autism spectrum. And the way we went about this is very interesting because we knew when they were little, and Carly can vouch for this because Carly and Sammy's babysit for them. When they were little, there were some eccentric little things that they used to do that didn't fit into a label exactly. It's just what they did. They didn't like the way certain clothes felt, or they wanted to wear certain clothes and only certain clothes, or they just got obsessed about the... Anyways, and so we just kind of went with it because we couldn't get a diagnosis, especially not around here.
Yeah.
You have to go someplace else. You can't... you're not going to get a whole lot of answers around here. You might get a little bit of help, and they might push you in the right direction. We went to Children's when they were, kindergarten. And I was a little disappointed only because the diagnosis came back that they have a cognitive disability and communication issues. And I took that back. And since, I also have my master's in special ed. So a little bit of that, I thought this is not all jiving up. And I took the information back to all of their teachers. And the elementary teachers, special ed teachers, speech and language people, therapist, everybody, they were great, always with working with my kids, with or without an autism label. It didn't really matter. And we kind of all talked about how this really, we weren't so sure that this was the exact label that fit all of what my kids, like, we just didn't see that. Because cognitive disability means an IQ at a certain level, and like you will plateau at what your learning can be. I personally, I would accept whatever. I didn't want to. Did I think that was the right diagnosis? No, I did not. And so it didn't happen until, once they were in fourth grade or fifth grade, that we decided to go to Ann Arbor, and we went to a specialist, and he talked with all of us, and it didn't take him long to say, your kids are on the autism spectrum. We would say it's Asperger's, but we don't call it that anymore, because in the field of special ed, and you know this, Carly. Mm-hmm. They change the name of what things are all the time. So it just felt better. Did it change the way they were served at my school or how anybody felt about them? Or it just was some answers, and then we just moved on.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where our diagnosis came. It took a long time. Now, did we always think there were those little quirky things? Yeah, we've always thought that. We were like, we could not put a finger on it. It was funny, though, because I was telling, I have Olivia Hawk, Nikki's daughter, works in my classroom, and we were talking today, and I said, Olivia, I remember distinctly coming to a basketball game with the twins, Pete, totally in a, like a coat, gloves, wouldn't take it off, very rigid about this, not real happy about being there, too loud, too much going on, kind of tantrumy, and Nikki sat in front of us, and Nikki turned around and said, he has autism. And I was like, no, not my kid. No. And it's just so funny because my kids have autism, yeah. You know? So that's kind of where my story all went. And it's an evolving story. And Nikki will tell you the same thing. It's never, it is a story that's going to go on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Nikki, what about you? your history with autism.
Okay. Sorry. I'm a little emotional now listening to Amy. Our oldest son, Isaac, is 15 now. He was our oldest. Joe and I are the youngest children in our families. We weren't exposed to a lot of other kids. And he didn't talk real early. He used to do really odd things. He would bang his head. We would be playing, wrestling around, and he would stop. He would go bang his head on the wall or the concrete or the headboard, and he would come back and play. He didn't talk a whole lot. And so I went to the doctor, you know, his one-year checkup, his 18-month checkup, and I said, he bangs his head. And the doctor said, some kids are headbangers. And I said, he doesn't really talk a lot. And he said, boys develop slower than girls. And this was 15 years ago. So in 2002, Isaac was born in 2001. So 2002, 2003 really was when you started to see autism being thrown out there. And I've always said that if my child was going to have an issue, that we picked the right time to have this issue, because it's really when it came to the national forefront. It's when Autism Speaks was started. It's when people really started to talk about it. All of us had seen the movie Rain Man back in the 90s. And when we thought autism, that's what we thought. We thought, and to this day, I get people who say, what's his gift? What can he do? Well, he can't count cards, or mama would have taken him to Vegas a long time ago. He can do things that are amazing, but he's not Rain Man. I wish he was sometimes. So the doctor, you know, local doctor, had not had any experience with it, and just listened to us talk. So we started when he was two with a speech diagnosis, looking into why he wasn't talking. So we started at Cheryl Ann, and Cheryl Ann has been wonderful with my kids. We started at Cheryl Ann. We started with speech. And the speech therapist and the occupational therapist would talk to us, and they said, there's something about him, but I don't think it's autism. I don't know what it is. So we went to Children's, and we sat down, Children's in Dayton. We went and sat down with Dr. Amasola at the time, and she was in developmental pediatrics. And she said, okay, well, this is your first of three appointments. It's going to take a long time because there's no diagnosis for autism. You can't do a blood test and say that kid's autistic. You can take a blood test and learn a lot of things about kids. You cannot learn whether or not they're on the spectrum. So it has to be done by observation. And she said, it's going to take me several hours to watch him. Within 20 minutes, she said, your son is autistic. He is on the spectrum. And at that point, I felt like someone had ripped my heart out and stomped on it. It was the most devastating thing I had ever heard in my life. Joe and I were married. We had master's degrees. We had jobs. We had our own house. This doesn't happen to us. We're the normal American family. We're a little crazy, but this doesn't happen to people like us. This happens to other people. They said, your son's autistic. And my first fear was, are we going to lose him? Because and I don't mean physically lose him. Yeah. I mean emotionally and mentally. Because everything I had seen was my child was totally normal, and then they went into this cocoon and they never came out. They never spoke again. They never did that. That was my biggest fear. And she said, you don't have to worry about that. He's past that age. He's not going to lose any of the skills he has. He may never develop another skill, but he's not going to lose what he has. So it took us some time, and I remember coming home, and I called my dad on the phone, and I said, Dad, they diagnosed him. And I expected him to say, what? Oh, my gosh. And my dad said, honey, you knew it was something. And I don't know that I did. I don't know that I knew it was something. And here we are. Here we are 15 years later. And I will tell you, Amy's kids are younger, and I've seen everything that she's seen. But I thought as he got older, it would get easier. And I'm just going to throw this out there. Puberty sucks. And it sucks for typical kids. And it sucks 1,000 times worse for kids who have special needs. And I hate it. And if I could order another kid, I would say make them already potty trained and through puberty, because it sucks. Yeah. But we take every day as it is. And here we are.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to come back and find out more about Pete and Parker and Isaac and others that, you know, deal with this too. So we'll be right back after a few messages.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut, grilled, or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
The bowling leagues are finished for the season at Miracle Lanes. That means there's more time for open bowling on weeknights. And don't forget to call ahead and reserve your lanes for birthday parties and other get-togethers. With bowling finished, Miracle Lanes is closed on Mondays, but the other 6 nights, you can call them for their great food. Get what you like from their great variety of wings, subs, and pizzas, or one of their great sandwiches, and more. Everybody can order their favorite. Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274, then just drive through and pick it up. Winter's over, the warm weather's here, but your car is a mess. Call Hastings Auto Sales now to set up your appointment to get your car looking great again. You can get a professional wash and wax, or to make it look like new inside and out, ask about their complete detailing service. Whichever you choose, your car will look great. And the best part? You didn't have to do a thing except call Hastings Auto to set up your appointment. Call them now at 375-4617. On Tuesday, the Indians went to Versailles for a last-minute non-league baseball game and defeated the always-tough Tigers 7-4. The baseball team is now 4-1, and for now, there's only one game scheduled for the rest of this week. They'll host the Houston Wildcats on Friday at 5. Get to the Diamond on Friday if you can to cheer on our Indians as they work hard to get back to state for the 3rd year in a row. But if you just can't get to the game in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Children.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Nikki Hoff, Amy Klingsher, Carly Stogler. So I tell you what, we touched very briefly on how you guys became involved. And let's go back to the signs or symptoms of autism. Okay. You know what? And I've got 4 lovely grandkids, and you see them playing with other kids, and everyone's different, and everyone develops at a different age, and every mom in the world worries about, geez, is that normal, you know? And so as, like, you look at your own kids, what were some of the early signs that... you may have been autism.
Okay, so the biggest things for me were, or for Isaac, were a language delay. He didn't talk as other kids would have his age, avoided eye contact, and would play alone. And so the doctor would say, well, did he play with other kids? And I would say, well, yeah, he plays with other kids. And then I started to watch him, and he didn't play with other kids. He played next to other kids. Mm-hmm. He didn't interact with other kids. He did his own thing. He had a lot of sensory issues. And what that means is that our kids really don't feel things the same way. Bright lights might affect them. Dim lights might affect them. Touch may feel very different to them. So I watch for those kinds of things. But one of the main things for me was I had to learn the difference between a tantrum and a meltdown. And this is something that the example I use to explain to other people all the time. A tantrum is what all kids do. Your grandkids, all three of my kids, my husband, they all throw tantrums, right? Isaac loves Oreo cookies. If I tell Isaac no Oreos, he's going to throw a tantrum because he's a kid and he wants his Oreos. If Isaac says, I want Oreos, and I give him three Oreos or five Oreos, and he goes into a major meltdown because you can't have three or five. You have to have four. In his world, it's four. Everything has to be in four. As he gets bigger, we're now doing multiples of four because eight's better than four. But as long as it's multiple of four, he's happy. Don't know why. Have no idea where it came from. But I had to learn the difference. And I find myself trying to explain his behavior to people. It's different now that he's older, but the things you look for, things that don't make sense to you. Why is my son having a crazy attack over five cookies instead of four? Why is he always hiding? When he was little, we would have alphabet puzzles. The letter Z, always missing, because he don't want to see anything end. And Carly can talk to this when it comes to credits on movies. He has got to watch the credits. And yep. If he doesn't watch the credits, he will go into full-blown meltdown. Those kind of things that seem rational, if I told my other kids, we're turning it off now, the credits are coming on, but it's not a big deal, no problem.
They're fine.
Isaac, it is like a physical pain, like you have stabbed him in the heart, and he cannot express it, but he will flip. And so you got to watch for those kinds of things. So for parents, I would say, watch the eye contact. Make sure that they're interacting with other people. Watch their language. And in 2017, there are enough resources out there. You can find anything. When Amy and I were young, we didn't have the internet. You all have the internet, so use it wisely.
Yeah, that's Amy. True. So many of the things that she said, I was thinking the same thing. She said sensory issues. And my kids, what's interesting is I get to watch two kids with autism. They are very different. Every kid with autism is different. And I think at this point we should talk, too, about that umbrella of the severity. And now we just say they have it's autism spectrum disorder. We don't classify it into Asperger's and high functioning and PDD, NOS, and all this other craziness. It is what it is. And you can be way over here on this end, or you can be way over here on this end, as with most disability categories.
Yeah. Can I ask you real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Can that change, or are they always in that on that road? Is it always that road, or would they necessarily be a little higher function at one time with one thing and then lose part of that but go to something else? Can that happen?
In very few cases, people can have their diagnosis removed. Mm-hmm. It's not normal. There's no cure. No one's ever going to say, my son had autism and he's cured. Mm-hmm. Never is that going to happen.
Well, what I was actually asking is if one of them is really hates the loud noises.
It does get better.
It does, or it can?
It can. It depends if they can cope.
Mm. Right. And my kids, and if you ever want to do any kind of research or anything, research Temple Grandin.
Love her. Love.
Huge in the field of autism. Is a huge advocate. Has autism. Learned how to make that autism work for her. Completely successful, functional, great speaker, had a movie about her. So Temple Grandin, that's my shout out to Temple Grandin.
Fantastic.
I just have to say that much because she's just amazing. And Cooper people know about Temple Grandin.
Yeah.
Because she works with animals.
Right.
That was her field and that was her kind of obsession. And that's another thing. My kids, mostly Pete was mostly obsessed with things. And Parker just kind of is more laid back and would go along with the ride. But Pete was obsessed with things since he was little. It was Army men. And it was lining the Army men up just right and making sure that the Army men don't touch them, don't look at them. And Carly remembers this. Then it was dressing up like Army men. Like, we went through a whole series
of the Civil War.
Yeah. Like, when the Civil War was in our backyard, it was crazy.
Wow.
Because he couldn't get enough. And we have the cutest pictures of them dressed up like this. And then they know all these facts about them. Like, they know all this useless knowledge that they just absorb. We used to think they were upstairs playing on their games and gaming. They're watching YouTube videos. They're reading. They cannot get enough of this stuff. So they have all this knowledge. Now, this same kid who has all these obsessions and knows all this great stuff also at 12
still doesn't know, doesn't put his shoes on the right feet consistently. Mm. And that was one of those things he's always done. He's always worn his shoes on the wrong feet. He doesn't care. Doesn't bother him. That was just one of those things with him. But he was also my kid who was very sensitive to his clothes. For a long time, he only wore jeans. Then he only wore this polar bear green shirt that we searched all over the internet to get more because he had it on all the time. You should have seen when we had to dress up for First Communion, it was painful. It was the worst experience ever because he had to wear something different. And we could not, and we were still in the throes of learning how that, learning about their diagnosis. It was before they were diagnosed with autism. We just thought this was, he's kind of being a brat. He's got some other things going on, but he's being a brat. And he wasn't being a brat. He could not tolerate the feel of that clothes. We did not know that because we didn't have that diagnosis. We thought we did all the right things. We went to Children's. And they came back with this CD diagnosis, which we were like, that's not the only thing. That's not the only thing about him. There's more. And he has things like he can't shake hands. Well, for a long time, he couldn't shake hands because he was worried about the way people smell. Like, if you have a smell on your hands, and he got it on his hands, hated smells, couldn't handle it. Not real good about hand washing. Can't use soap. Soap smells. God, what's the other thing? But on the other hand, Parker's quirky things, you cannot touch his head. He doesn't like his head touch. You can hardly barely wash his hair. He didn't have all those things like Pete did, because when Pete went through, Parker just kind of followed him along and didn't get too excited about it. Pete got to the point where all of a sudden he was very into cemeteries. When people died, we have been through every cemetery in Mercer and Dart County. We went to Kentucky to that great big fancy cemetery down in Louisville. We, just because he was so obsessed with it, and he still is. He talks about, he wants to go to Hollywood too. Mom, what about where, you know, like Laurel and Hardy? Who at 12 cares about Laurel and Hardy except for my kid? You know, just those little things he can't get enough of. And he was writing birth and death dates. We used to have little tombstones in our yard. He'd find scraps of wood or scraps of, like, rocks, and he'd set them up. So then my dad would cut him real tombstones out. We had tombstones all over. He had birth and death dates all over. He was writing it on his papers at school. And his teacher was like, what's going on with the birth and death dates? And just one of the things he does. And still, when he was in second grade, no diagnosis yet. So that was one of those things that we were like, just roll with it. You kind of have to pick your battles too. And Nikki will
pick your
agree
battles.
With that.
Absolutely.
Like, some things we just don't even fight with. Like, if he wants to eat just the meat, you eat just the meat, because at least he's eating. But this is also the kid that will eat 7 ice cream bars if you don't tell him no. You know? And so it's just weird because they're so different. But it's autism. You know, what are you going to do? It's just interesting.
So did you guys watch the TV show Parenthood?
My friends recommended it. I started to watch it because they said, oh, you got to watch this. This reminds me so much of Pete and Park. Because, you know, and because of the way that their child behaved. And I'm like, huh. And I did start it and just haven't found the time to watch the whole entire series. But
I've not watched it, but I do watch Big Bang Theory. And Sheldon Cooper is on the spectrum. There's no doubt in my mind. It's those. But he's the genius version. He's the successful version. He's the Temple Grandin version.
Yeah.
You've got my kid who doesn't take care of his own bathroom needs. So I'm just hoping for that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take another break. We're going to come and learn more. You know, part of what I want us to accomplish is, you know, April is Autism Awareness Month, but I also want it to be like an Autism Action Month. And to help you guys teach us what we can do to communicate better, relate better. Because I think that you know, if we all want to make a difference, that's, you know, something that is going to have to change. So we will be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
This is Rochelle, grocery manager at Wayne IGA, Fort Recovery, Ohio. Keep a lookout for changes throughout the store as well as the new products we have coming soon. If there is anything we don't offer, let us know and we will do what we can to get it in. A big thank you to all of those who took part in donating back to the local schools through the month of February. Thanks for shopping with Wayne IGA.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
I need to talk to Tyler.
Which Tyler do you mean?
My brother Tyler. He was out looking for Ralph, our dog.
Why would your brother be here looking for Ralph, your dog?
I told Tyler that you had something for everyone. So he said he was going to look there.
Well, we do have something for everyone with insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual. Maybe you should ask your parents for help.
Can I speak to my mom?
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Fort Recovery Boy Scouts would like to invite you to our annual Pancake and Sausage Breakfast on Sunday, April 9th from 8 o'clock to 12:30 at the American Legion.
We will be serving all the pancakes, sausage, and scrambled eggs you can eat along with coffee, milk, and juice. Tickets are $6 per person for ages 6 and up. We will also be drawing the winners for our gun raffle.
We appreciate your support of the Fort Recovery Boy Scouts and hope to see you for breakfast at the American Legion on Palm Sunday, April 9th.
Breakfast with Bill every weekday morning right here on FortRecoveryRadio.com.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Cats open in Broadway.
Yeah, I didn't look up any of the cats.
Nah, they don't care about cats.
Okay, we'll move on then.
But you can sing some.
That's all right.
Sing that.
Rock.
At night and the kitties are sleeping.
That's not the real words. Those are Letterman's.
That was good.
Words to it, but it's...
Oh, yeah. That's better than what Dan Neal could have put on there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, you guys go.
We're back. Jack Stogler, Wednesday Night Insight with Nikki, Carly, Amy, talking about autism and our kids that we, you know what, like you, many parents, we, you know, give them a hug while we spank their ass at the same time.
Beep.
Yeah. So
we quit beeping that years ago.
We're good with that.
Yeah.
Good.
So
good to know.
It's not great, but we don't get too excited anymore.
So let's talk about more of the challenges from a parenting standpoint. You know, Nikki, your son is 15 years old. Amy, yours are 12. Carly, you're up at the high school, and you deal with not only autistic kids, but kids with a lot of different things at that age. What are some of the social challenges, because your kids are getting to that age, that really makes it tough?
Yeah. First, I need to say that Carly, and Amy will learn this as her kids get older, has been a godsend to us. I don't want to get emotional, but God bless Carly Stogler, and thank you, Jody, for having her. And Bob, I guess you were involved, so thank you. Thank you so much.
That has never been proven by a blood test.
That's true, but I think she's too much like them not to claim them. So, wow. I just have to say that, you know, Amy and I have to keep our kids, but we welcome the opportunity to send them to school, I think, because you need a break. It is tough, and I don't know how or why people like Carly do this, but thank God they do. And Isaac's had some really good teachers. We've had a few issues, but we've had some really good teachers. I can't say enough about Kathy Ports. She had Isaac for 6 years, and before her it was Taffy Lake up at the Cheryl Ann, and countless aides through the years, and the aides he has now have been just phenomenal. So I have to say that when they say it takes a village, it really takes a whole school system. And it's not just Fort Recovery. It's the county system. It's the preschool system. And it's people who've done things for him all along. So let me go back to, I don't even know what the question was, Jack. What's the question? What are we talking about? It doesn't matter, because I'm going to over-talk, because that's okay. What I do. But one of the things Neil had asked during the break was, you know, he said, what do you want people to know? And how can people help? And for me right now, the beauty about autism is Isaac doesn't care. For the most part, you can say what you want. You can do what you want. As long as you're not interfering with his world, it's okay.
And that's the best thing. I hate
that.
That is. That's what makes it better for moms and dads. Because as a child, like my kids, the kids in their grade, the twins' grade, are great to them. They're great. But when it comes to having friends, No friends.
My kids don't have friends.
Right.
But my kids don't care that they don't have friends.
Right.
Because they're interested in doing their thing. And they don't really understand why we get in groups and we talk and we visit and we play cards. Because that's not what they do. That's not their interest. They go do what they do. They don't know how to talk to people.
Right.
And so that, as a mom, is tough. Because I want my kid to have friends. And if you ask them about friends, who'd you play with today? I don't care what you're doing academically. And I always ask that in my IEP meetings. I don't care about them academically. Not a problem. Who are their friends? And they know that that's going to be my big question. Like, I want them with other kids. And it's very painful because I'm at school with them. And I watch them in those social situations. And middle school is kind of not a pleasant time for most kids. And it's just hard to watch. So that's kind of, that's for me, it's hard. For them, they don't care. And that's kind of a good part about
And Amy, the other thing that is very, very difficult for me is Isaac's my oldest. He has two younger siblings, and it impacts them every single day. We can't just say, do you want to have a friend come over this weekend? Because our oldest child tends to be naked all the time. And so you can't really have teenage girls coming over to visit Olivia when her brother has the issues he has. And so it's a problem because it impacts them, and they're embarrassed. And that's a big thing, is they're embarrassed. And I don't know how to help them. I try to teach them. My biggest thing with my kids is I don't care what they become as long as they are nice to everyone and treat everyone with respect. Having said that, there are days that kids can come up to Isaac and talk to him and have a great conversation. And there are days if you come anywhere near him, he's going to call you a name and bleep, 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 and you better stay away. So there are some kids that he wants to interact with. God love Brooke Gower. He loves her, and she tolerates him wonderfully. But there are other times that people try to talk to him, and he's not having it. And Carly's experienced this, I'm sure, and it's difficult. You know, it's also funny that, you know, Joe's in the same building as Isaac, and so sometimes he's in, like, stealth mode, trying to hide from Ike so he doesn't see him, because that might set his whole day off. So it's tough as parents. I worry more about siblings. But even now, Isaac's been diagnosed for 12 years, and my family is wonderful, but unless you live with it every minute of every day, you don't get it, and you never will. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm not saying that as anything, but we put on a happy face, and we try to go about our life, and we try to make it as normal as possible, but it sucks. And I'm sorry to say it, but autism sucks, and we try to get through every day the best we can. But I wish my other kids didn't have to learn to do all of these things. They're going to be better for it in the long run.
Yeah.
But right now, when they're 9 and 12, or 9, how old is Olivia? 13? When they're, holy crap, I'm terrible. I hope she's not listening. Hopefully she's sleeping. 9 and 13, and you see how it impacts their development. It's tough.
Yeah.
It is tough.
If we could just teach kids to be kind, I think that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Yeah. I'm in school. I see kids.
Is there still a problem with that? I was hoping that was gone. I don't see it out at the ball games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to be okay, but you never know what goes on in school. And that's
some
just
of the words they use are really, like, I know personally that I am cracking down on any student that is within my area if they say the word retarded. I just
not acceptable.
Yep. No, not at all. And so, parents out there, stop using it. Because your kids are using it because they hear you.
Yeah.
And it's offensive.
Yeah. And a lot of the times, the rest of us just use it not for that, but we need to learn, just like the N-word. People just used to.
The R word is just as bad.
It's just as bad. Exactly.
That word makes me, like, cringe.
Yeah. People like myself, it takes forever for us to realize that somebody else is offended by something that we didn't mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough.
Mm-hmm. And I think disability, unless you live with somebody who has a disability in your family, you don't understand how to how that affects everybody. It trickles down to everybody in your family. And you just have to know that you have to use some sensitive language, and you have to up your game and be a little bit more grown up and an adult and not say some of those crazy things.
So, Carly, I want to ask you, okay, so you went from a preschool classroom at one point, and then now you're in high school with the MD students, okay? Tell me about the challenges and the rewards from being in that the high school classroom?
Well, first, I have to give a shout-out to Amy Benn, because she has been absolutely fantastic. She's the one who told me about this job. It was a week before school started. I had my preschool room already. I had owls everywhere, and it was all bright and colorful. And then she texts me, and she's like, oh, my gosh, this job at Fort Recovery just opened up. You need to go for it. I said, it's a week before school starts. Ain't no way I can't do that. And so she's like, no, like, you need to. And so I interviewed, and I got it 5 days before school started, and like, Amy Benn has been my mentor, and so I'm like, oh, like, I could decorate with this. She's like, Carly, they're high schoolers. You can't put owls and owls and farm animals everywhere. I'm like, oh, you're right, you know. Yeah, they're high school. But high schoolers are just amazing. You know, I have my bachelor's in K-3, and I have my master's in K-12 now. I just graduated in December.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
And, it's high school is great. I feel like I can joke around with them a lot more and kind of show, you know, be a little more, you know, sarcastic, and, you know, I can make jokes, and it's just such a fun age.
Yeah. So from a reward standpoint, okay, so you're now 7 months into your first year at this. What would make you say, this is what I want to do again next year?
The threat of bodily harm if she doesn't. oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud? Oops.
Yeah. I don't know. It was, you know, the first, you know, few weeks of school, you're still kind of like, you know, I'm still, you know, kind of getting my groove. But now I feel like, you know, I know my kids. I want to see them, you know, develop. I want to see them graduate. I want to be the one that gets them there. And I want to be the one that has the future students that, you know, they look back and be like, God, I had Miss Stogler. She was, you know, she helped me, you know, do, like, not only academically, but socially as well. You know, I want to be that teacher that helps those students.
Very good. Well, I tell you what, like you, Nikki and Amy said, they you kind of got into this position through you know, being moms. You are in it for a, you know, totally different cause, and it's really cool to you watch you do that. So I tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and talk more about autism right after this.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
The Feed and Animal Division of Cooper Farms in Fort Recovery, Ohio has an array of employment opportunities available. We are looking for eager, dedicated, and skilled individuals to join our team. A list of employment opportunities can be found online at cooperfarms.com or by calling 419-375-4116. Cooper Farms is more than a workplace and offers a wonderful benefits package, including a free on-site medical facility, a monthly gain-sharing bonus program, paid time off, and much, much more. Contact us today about joining our team.
Visit the 47-acre campground at Rossburg Acres. There are plenty of permanent and short-term camping sites available with water and electric hookups. Call 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 to make your reservations. If you are planning a party or a get-together, there are two large shelter houses available for rent on Sundays. One of these is sure to meet your needs. Make sure your reservations are in advance by calling 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 or visit RossburgAcres.com.
The Fort Recovery Academic Booster Club is having a pork chop dinner on Thursday, April 20th. It's carry out only from 4 to 6, and they're available for drive-through pickup at the elementary preschool entrance. These 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinners will be prepared by Two Willies Barbecue using the international award-winning Iowa State Fair recipe. And the dinner includes a smoked pork chop, a baked potato with butter and sour cream, applesauce, and a roll. The tickets are only $8 and must be purchased by Monday, April 10th from any high school SAD Club member, and they are also available at the high school and middle school offices or by calling Kathy Toby at 375-4227 or Kathy Etzler at 852-2572. Get your academic boosters tickets now before April 10th for the 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinner at the school offices or from any SAD member. Then just head out to the elementary school and drive by the preschool entrance and pick up your dinners on Thursday, April 20th between 4 and 6. And don't forget to get a couple of extra dinners to put in your refrigerator for a quick meal later on. Just be sure to get your smoked pork chop dinner tickets before April 10th.
This time, I think we're back. Are we back this time?
Yes. Oh. We had a false alarm.
Yes, we did. So, Jack Stogler, Carly, Amy, Nikki, talking about autism on Insight tonight. And, you know, we touched on the, on a lot of aspects from a, social aspect, from a, personal aspect. Let's talk about autism from a financial standpoint, okay? Because I think it kind of falls in a different spectrum from an insurance standpoint. So, Amy or Nikki, if you can share what you know about that?
Autism is not a covered what do we call it? It's a disorder. It's not a disease.
No.
It's not a behavior. It's not a cognitive. It's a disorder. So it's not covered. You can't go to a doctor and see an autism specialist and turn the bill into insurance and have it covered. Now, there are some ways to kind of code things differently and whatnot, but I was sharing at the break that Isaac cannot have his teeth cleaned by a dentist. Normally, he would not tolerate that at all. So we have to have him sedated. He's had his teeth cleaned twice. I think he's 15 years old. He's had his teeth cleaned two or three times, and has had to be sedated each time, and we get a $900 bill each time because that's not covered. I was reading some stats earlier that the average cost for a family for a child on the spectrum is $60,000 a year. People look at Joe and I and think, why don't you have more money? I'm like, well, let's see. Here's our prescriptions. Here's our therapies. Here's our everything. It's tough because things aren't covered, but there are a few great resources out there, and Amy and I both were very, very privileged to be a part of something last year, and I'm going to let her talk a little bit about that.
We were connected through Stacy Fowler, who is our area speech-language pathologist, and then she's got another title, but I forget what it is, and I don't remember. Sorry, Stacy, but she is the one that found out about this Fox Family Ride for Autism. And the Fox Family, they're originally from Rockford, and they live, I think, in Chicago or something now. But their home roots are in Rockford. And what they did was they had a son who was diagnosed with autism, and they realized how little there was out there and how people didn't know a lot about autism and how can we help people, especially in this area. When you're in the city, you have access to lots of resources. When you are here, your resources are limited, and financially they're limited, and schools can only do so much also.
Sure.
Because although I feel great with my experience so far, and I'm glad to know that Carly's at the high school because I feel like it's only going to get better. But the Fox Family Ride for Autism, they have this motorcycle run, which is, it's funny because it's these big Harley dudes, and we like Harley dudes. Yeah. I'm kind of partial. I got a few of those in my family that raise money, and they take all that money, and then they bring it back to Mercer County, and people have to apply. You can apply for an iPad and get training and get apps and all of that. If you apply for it and they choose your grant application,
right,
you will basically, one day you take the training and they give you an iPad for your child with autism. And so it is very helpful because my kids can use that to, well, first of all, look up anything they want to look up, and that makes them very happy. And they can use it at school. It's just, it's so helpful for them to have. But it's such a great resource, and we knew nothing about this. Like, I knew nothing about the Fox Family Ride for Autism. And we are hoping, we talked to them afterwards, after the iPad get-together and everything last summer, and said, listen, if we can help you in Fort Recovery, we'll help you, because that's the way Fort Recovery works.
Yeah.
Like, we are more than willing to spread the word, because you're going to find out that there are more people that have autism than what you know.
Mm-hmm.
The severity is different for every person. There are going to be people that are undiagnosed, that are going to be undiagnosed their whole entire life and just be that quirky person you can't put your finger on. That's all okay. But they're out there trying to raise awareness and help people in our area, which is kind of hard to do when our resources are fairly limited.
Yeah, and I have friended them on Facebook, so if you want to look through my likes or just type in Fox Family Ride for Autism, if you want to be involved, even if you just go to, they do a poker run, and so even if you just want to participate in that, it is absolutely fantastic. And Carly can probably talk to the iPad a little bit. We never brought it home because I didn't want it to be a toy. I wanted it to be something that he could learn with, so he uses that at school when he's good.
Yes. Yep, we get it after lunch. And then he has to earn it towards the end of the day. So we go on 15-minute increments, very short. I mean, his focus is very short. So when we do any kind of academics, it's 10 to 15 minutes, and that's what you have. And then we need to take a break. And then it's 10 to 15 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes, and then we have to take a break. And so, I mean, he gets either plus or minus it. If we have more pluses than minuses, he gets the iPad at the end of the day. He has had the iPad at the end of the day every single day. Hallelujah. And, I mean, and we use a timer. Timers are huge. And so, I mean, when he wants to talk to you, Miss S, I'm going to set my timer for a minute. I'm having a conversation. Just when the timer goes off, then you can talk to me. So it's a lot. He has to earn it, and it's for timers, and he sets alarms. And so, I mean, yeah, he'll look up YouTube videos and, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I was going to mention this just because it's hilarious. I don't know about your kids, Amy, but Isaac likes to watch YouTube videos of other people playing games.
Yeah.
Like, he loves his Wii, but his favorite is to watch other people play the Wii games that he has at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's better to watch other people do it, which, by the way, also teaches them a lot of language. So if your kids are YouTubers, that's where they're getting it from. Uh-oh. Just FYI.
Yeah.
So we
talked while we were off the air about possible causes, you know, and let's see, Amy, I think you talked about they're starting to test from some genetic things.
Mm-hmm. When my kids went to, when they went to Ann Arbor, they asked, can we do a cheek swab? Sure, you can do a cheek swab. My concern was, do we have to pay for it? And they were upfront right now. We paid $500 to see the doctor. That was it. And they said that the genetic part, the testing part, would be completely covered. So when you get a bill, just ignore it. We've got it covered. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
And they did the cheek swab, and now it's entered in with all these other people that have done it. And I guess they're just using all that data to kind of figure out, what's the common theme? And so, you know, I read it like everybody else. I read, you know, Time Magazine, any place online to find out what's the latest thing happening with autism. You know, I don't know.
I'll give you my theory. People ask me all the time, what do you think causes it? For me, it's twofold. I believe there's a genetic predisposition to autism, but just because you have that genetic predisposition doesn't mean you're going to develop it. People have the alcohol gene. They don't necessarily become alcoholics just because it's there. Same thing with autism. But I believe that when it's going to develop is because there's also an environmental factor that couples with that. And that environmental factor is different for different people. There are people who swear that vaccinations cause their child's autism. I don't believe that. I have three kids. All three of my kids were vaccinated. One of them's autistic, and he's my oldest, and I have my others vaccinated. However, I do believe that there are probably some families that was the genetic or the environmental factor that affected their kid. It might affect them in different ways. For Isaac, I don't know that he was ever exposed to anything specific, but
maybe it was secondhand smoke that I was exposed to as a kid. Maybe it was something Joe was exposed to and it got in our bodies. But it's not one thing. If there was one thing, it'd be surely easy to cure. You just take that out of the environment. But I really believe that it's way more complicated than that. If it wasn't, we would have a cure by now. So it's going to be different for different people. Same thing with a cure, I guess. You know, there are people who say, well, is there a cure? Well, no, there's not a cure. But there are people who lead much better lives by doing different things. There are people who can do a gluten-free, casein-free diet, which is, you know, basically wheat and dairy. People who take that away and can do great things with that. We tried it. It did not help us. In fact, it caused us a lot more issues. But if that works for your family, then that's what works for your family. I don't care what people do if it works for them. And so whether it's what causes it or what cures it, I don't think Amy and I care about that because we live with it and Carly deals with it. And so it really doesn't matter. It matters how are we going to get through, not even today, how are we going to get through this 10 minutes and this 30 minutes? And is he going to go to bed tonight? And is he going to sleep through the night? And tomorrow morning, is he going to wake up and be in a good mood and go to school? That's what I care about. If somebody came and knocked on my door tomorrow and said, take this magic pill and your son will be cured, I would probably do it, but it does scare me because I don't ever want to lose the beautiful soul that is in there. I just hope that someday, I can get inside of there and I can see what's there because I've only scratched the surface with what's inside of that boy, whether it's in his heart or in his head. Unfortunately, he puts up these walls to try to push you away, whether it be cussing at you, swinging at you, or whatever it is he does, and Carly probably can figure that out. But you know, God trusted me and trusted her with this child, and we'll do what we can, but it doesn't make it easy every day.
No, it's not easy every day. It is a challenge, and even though my kids are higher functioning, we go to school, they do their thing, it doesn't mean that we don't have our times when it's just so hard because you just don't, and they do. Our kids are great. Like, they have great, quirky, fun things about them that I absolutely love. Do I worry about them as they get older? Yeah, I worry about them. My goal is for them to live on their own. I worry about Max because Max feels like he has to be here to help and watch. Mom, what's going to happen when they go to high school? What if they get picked on? I'm not going to be here. I said, dude, you don't think I got that under control? I said, I have feelers everywhere. I'm not worried about that, but he worries, and that's that sibling thing that's so hard for them. And you feel like, and this is anybody and any family that has somebody with a disability, you always worry what's going to happen when I'm gone. Who is taking care of my child? It doesn't have to be a kid with autism. It's any child. And that's hard for a sibling to deal with. But it's just one of those things that they're just so unique and fun, and they bring, like, I learn new things about my kids all the time. When teachers tell me at school, Mrs. Weigel, bless her heart, social studies teacher, she does this thing where she asks these 5 questions, and they're very hard questions, quirky questions that nobody's going to know. And yet, when she asks, what country, I don't even know where it was, something about Hispaniola, and my child knew that that was Haiti. I'm like, yes! I don't know what you're going to do with that knowledge, but if we can find you a job, life is going to be great. And I just, I have a hope that they're going to have a job, they're going to live on their own, but we have to, all those things that they don't like to do, and this is a shout out for all the parents that think that their kids, like, you need to gently insist that they do those things. I know my kids wouldn't shake hands, won't wash their hair, or wouldn't do those things. And my teacher friends and therapists and said, make them do it. Gently insist, or they'll never do it.
And do it when they're young, because they all say when they get older, it's going to be so much harder. And I'm telling you, every day it's harder because they get bigger. I know we have to go, but real quick, the universal symbol for autism is a puzzle piece. And that's because even though we've talked to you all this time and told you everything we know,
that's just
we don't know anything. It is, it's always a puzzle.
I tell you what, we do have to go, but only for a minute because we got to run a couple of commercials. We're going to be back, and Bubba wouldn't know what to do if we didn't run into Sports Talk's time at least a little bit. So we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Lasagna Thursday, and our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger on Friday. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evenings, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, complemented by a large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Spring is here, the season for celebrating graduation parties, family parties, and the beginning of those delicious cookouts. We have a great pick five selection for all fresh meat products ready for you and your family. Great for grilling in any weather. Graduation is also right around the corner. Keep us in mind for all your catering needs. Also, pre-book any party trays now with our deli team. We would love to service you for all your needs. As always, thanks for shopping. Wayne IGA, Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
On Tuesday, the Indians went to Versailles for a last-minute non-league baseball game and defeated the always-tough Tigers 7-4. The baseball team is now 4-1, and for now, there's only one game scheduled for the rest of this week. They'll host the Houston Wildcats on Friday at 5. Get to the Diamond on Friday if you can to cheer on our Indians as they work hard to get back to state for the third year in a row. But if you just can't get to the game in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
I know.
We're back.
We're back.
Oh,
what?
We're back.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
thanks, Neil.
So, yeah, well, I was busy doing stuff. So,
you're the best. Yeah.
I was getting water and stuff. So,
thank you for the water and stuff.
Keeping us hydrated.
Well, this isn't working very well.
So,
Let me just run through this real quick on the Fox Family Ride for Autism. It's a motorcycle poker run. June 17th, Rockford Community Building there on the north side of Rockford on 33. It's technically 420 Holly Drive. There's a bike raffle, Harley 2016 Harley FLHX Street Glide Vivid Black, $10 for each ticket. Don't have to be present to win. All kinds of things going on. Bike registration at 9 to 10:30. First bike out at 10. Last bike out at 10:30. So they have a lot going on. And looks like they're going to... it's $20 a rider, $15 for passenger, meals included. And it looks like they're probably going to raise somewhere in the vicinity of $20,000 to do this. So it's a really good thing. So that's on Facebook. It is Fox Family Ride for Autism. I had to click on a couple of different things to come up with it. If you keep trying, you will find it.
And I tell you what, I think that the ladies here are going to get some tickets. And if you want tickets to the Fox Family Ride,
that's for the raffle.
Tickets would be for the raffle, for the motorcycle.
That'll be for you to come and look up either Nikki Hawk or Amy Klingsher, and they will get you fixed up. Mm-hmm. So I tell you what, we touched a little bit, and I just want to get this straight. Okay, about some of the prescriptions and medications that are involved. So if there's no cure, are like those to treat some of the symptoms, or what are those for?
Pete is on medicine because he has high anxiety. He is a nervous kid. He worries a lot, and that will cause him to maybe have a meltdown when you shouldn't expect a meltdown. So we just kind of take the edge off, and that helps him.
Was that something along the line of Xanax and that type of thing?
I think it's Sertraline, but I don't know.
Sertraline, which is generic Zoloft, because Isaac takes it as well.
Okay, yeah. So it's
helps him kind of just be on
it,
even
get out.
Otherwise, his little heart rate would be just, because you should see him looking around the room like,
trying to just walking into buildings when they first started here and they were in kindergarten. Lucy Stogler, thank goodness, great guidance counselor, helped so much because she actually had to do a social story between her and Stacy Faller. A social story is a picture book of exactly using their picture, putting them in the story, showing exactly what you need to do. Because I couldn't get them out of the car to walk into the building. They were there was, you know how many people are there? You know how huge that seems just for typical kids, let alone somebody on the spectrum where they're hearing things and seeing things and smelling things and feeling things that you and I have no idea about. We literally had to put footsteps out of the car into the building to get them into the building. I mean, it was huge. And now when their teachers in sixth grade say the things that they're doing and how, what a great job they're doing, their kindergarten kindergarten teachers are thrilled because they remember where they came from.
Yeah.
And I think that's a special ed teacher just in general. They are so thrilled to see those changes because as a teacher, you see the changes that are this big. And it's, well, sorry, radio, very small. and, you know, those changes, we live for those changes. Those are great. You celebrate every one of those. And those special ed kids, no matter how long you have them, they're always your kids. You're always going to wonder. You're always going to care. You have so much invested in them that you can't not care about them. And if you don't, then you're in the wrong profession, to be honest. Don't you feel that way? Like,
yeah.
You have a legitimate investment in these kids.
Yeah.
And you should if you want to make a difference.
Oh, you have to.
And I think probably the teachers that have had them before, you know, especially even now, it's still an experiment. You don't really know if you're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see that what you did was whatever it may a little thing been, close the blinds a little bit more, or whatever it may have been, that actually made a difference, then that gives them all kinds of material to work with, mm-hmm, for the next one.
And you have to understand, before my kids were diagnosed, I was teaching special ed.
Mm-hmm.
I had a student who was on the spectrum. He had a hard time wearing shoes. Couldn't wear shoes. We know. We have to smile about this because we love this
right
kid.
Now.
This kid will be in my heart forever and ever and ever. And because I had him when he was younger, he could not wear shoes. And his homeroom teacher is a little prickly about that. And it's like, why are you fighting this battle? Who cares if he's wearing shoes or not? And he said to me one time, Mrs. Klingshern, I put those shoes on and it feels like my feet and my legs are on fire. Now, why would he say that? He's not making that up. That's legitimately how he
feels.
If he feels like that, you think he's gonna read and understand? Yeah.
And as an adult, you would change your clothes if that, mm-hmm, happened. You would do something to fix it. They don't get that.
They don't
have that ability.
No.
Yep. Now,
right.
Just asking this, and I don't know if it's when he said his feet are on fire. Do those kids lie?
No.
I was going to say that.
They're lying. No. You know they're lying because they're making it so obvious that they're lying.
And got a big grin on their face because they think they're
getting... These guys, there's no gray. It's black or it's white.
Yep.
I don't worry about them being...
Yep. That was my perception, but I don't know if that's reality. So.
My kids don't understand that flowery language, too.
Oh,
so
no.
When you say it's raining cats and dogs or any of those other crazy... They really do not understand it.
Yeah.
Words are hard. It's hard to understand what people are saying, and it's hard for them to get my kids to get the words out to say to you what they want to say. And sometimes it can be kind of offensive, like because they can't find the right word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that they don't have it in there; they just can't get it out.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're too honest. Isaac will call you old or grandma if you have glasses. He will call you fat like he does me every day. And God love him, and this is something we're trying to fix. Ooh, look at the brown skin people, Mommy. Mm-hmm. Look how nice. When we did his teeth that we talked about earlier, his nurse, Jennifer, ooh, I've never met a brown skin Jennifer. Ooh, Jennifer, can I have a hug? I've never had a hug from a brown skin Jennifer before. It's, you know, it's so innocent. For him, it's so innocent, but yet, as a parent, you're cringing inside, like, oh my God, if any of my other kids said something like that, I'd beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
But for him, it's just the way it is. And Jennifer said, honey, he's right. I am brown skin. I guess you are, but you just don't say it.
Yeah.
No. It kind of limits where you can go and what you can do, too. Because you don't want to, like, we just won't even head off that problem. We won't even go places that we know are going to be too loud. We tried to take them to an Ohio State basketball game. We spent more time out in the hall because they couldn't handle that. It was sensory overload. And that was before their diagnosis. We didn't know, but we just thought, what is the deal with
people? And that reminds me, I just saw around the first of the month, and I'm sure they've been planning this for a long time, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a special room where you can take your autistic kids, and I don't know, I guess they could probably interact with each other, but that you don't get this sensory overload. They have, you don't have these thousands of people, you're not in a crowd, and you're not getting blasted with stuff. So now whether that's going to work for them or not, I don't know, but it's an extremely great gesture,
great.
At the very least, if it, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't work, they're at least trying something.
Our kids mm-hmm. enjoy those things,
yeah.
but they just can't handle the sounds, the smells, yeah. the lights, everything that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing we can do to make that any.
And if you want to do something like that as a family, and you don't take all of your kids, your other kids miss out, and then you've got to find someone who can handle your autistic child to keep at home because we don't have family here. We don't have. I mean, I'm asking Carly to babysit tomorrow night during the FFA banquet. I'm not. She shouldn't have to deal with this kid any other minute. But I don't know who else to go to. You know, I'm certainly not bringing him there because Hawk just talks and talks and talks.
And
but I don't want to hear that. I don't want my kids to have to listen to it. But you know, it is what it is, and this is our life. So.
And you can have the best intentioned person smart, really wise, and a certified babysitter and all that, but if they don't know how to handle that, even if you care a lot, doesn't mean you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Right. Yeah. And ladies, I tell you what, you should take pride in you were all involved in what I believe it was the quickest hour and 5 minutes.
that did go very quick.
Yes.
Quick shout out.
Yes.
My sister, Sam Kanapke, is an occupational therapy assistant, and I guess this month is their 100th year of, you know, occupational therapy, and she does a fabulous job at Reed Hospital. But I mean, even in our classroom, we have occupational therapists that come in and say, like, what do you need? And so, like, for Isaac, you know, we have a brush that when he is just having a sensory overload, we just brush him, and it's very soft, and it's just to kind of decompress him.
Yeah.
And you know, he has a crash pad that he lays on when he just needs a break. He just lays down and just kind of relaxes. And so, shout out to all those occupational therapists
that help
out there.
That's
that
true.
Help, yes,
and
it's
huge.
They are great.
And while we're giving shout outs, I was getting some texts from my neighbors here who are grandparents. Whether you're an aunt, an uncle, a parent, a sibling, a grandparent, I guarantee everyone listening to this program right now knows someone on the spectrum. We couldn't have said that 15 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
But now, I mean, I look at my road. I live in the country. On my road, there are 8 houses. 4 of those houses are either parents or grandparents or siblings of people on the spectrum. That's incredible, and it's sad, but it's, you know, it is what it is. And so you all know someone, and if you think it doesn't affect you, it does, mm-hmm. and it will, whether you're a parent or grandparent. And I just give so much credit to the people. Like I said earlier, Amy and I, this is our life. This is what we do. This is what our husbands do. But people like Carly and grandparents and aunts and uncles and other caregivers, wow. I just have to say, they choose to do it, and God bless them for that.
Right, you know, and I think it's important for us to take an opportunity like this to kind of, you know, recognize it, not as those, you know, weird kids that nobody wants to deal with, but as an opportunity. You know, when we see people that are going through these things, and whether it's autistic, whether it's the child that's got no hair because of cancer treatments or whatever, to be able to you know, greet them and to give them a warm smile and to just treat them like you would any other person. You know, that's all that anybody really wants. And autistic kids may act one way one time and a different way, but you know, the parents and the, you know, siblings to be aware, you know, not only of the autistic child, but the siblings, and to go out of your way to embrace them from a, you know, social standpoint. There's so many things that, you know, we can do, and to recognize a, you know, national thing by putting a blue light on
is great, but to really affect somebody's lives, you find a way to give somebody that emotional hug, I think. So,
can you go through one more time what the general public should do if they're around? Should they always try to help, never try to help, try to feel it out? What is it exactly that we...
It's so hard. I wish my kids would wear a shirt that says, I have autism. So some of
my kids do when we're in airports and things like that. I always deck Isaac out in autism wear.
Look normal.
Right.
But when they do some of those quirky things, like they won't look at you or they're twitching and stuff, I just think people probably think, what's wrong with that kid? And I just sometimes want them to wear a shirt that says, I have autism, and I'm me. And I think that I think my kids would know if you're trying to help. Mm-hmm. My kids are higher functioning. Mm-hmm.
Is it best if we just smile at them and say hi?
Hi and move on.
And follow the cues of the parents. Isaac loves Jared out of the bowling alley, but Jared got in his face a couple weeks ago and tried to talk to him about the fact that his voice changed, and I thought Isaac was going to clock him. And you have to read the situation, and I hate to be that, but sometimes you can interact with them. And it's the same way as anybody. There are times and the difference is you can look at me and know if you should talk to me or not. You can't do that with them, and they can't read those cues. So really look at the parent and try to follow the situation and pick up on what you can.
Amy, I tell you what, we've had the opportunity here on a couple of different occasions to talk about teachers in the Fort Recovery school system. And from my days as a board member a few years ago, many, many years ago, the quality of teachers that we have and how much they care, even though we're a small school, I can't imagine kids going any place and getting any better treatment, And we're blessed to have the staff that we have here.
Our special ed staff does a great job. They are advocates for these kids, and that's what they need to be.
Sure.
They have to think about them first. I know we care about all the kids, but Carly's kids in Carly's room are Carly's responsibility, and she has to make sure that those kids are getting what they need wherever they are in that building.
Pre-K through 12, and even beyond. We can't just look at our young ones. We have to look at them all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, ladies, I'll give you an opportunity to make any closing remarks, and we will hand this off to Sports Talk here. Carly? You were going to say, thank you, Uncle Jack. You did a great job.
Thank you, Uncle Jack. You did a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. Bless you. She is good.
She's a sweet girl.
Well, you know what? First of all, I'm embarrassed that I didn't know that you changed jobs.
Yeah. I got in today, and he said, so, what do you do? I said, oh, thanks, Uncle
you're
Jack.
You're at Auglaize County, right?
You're at Auglaize County, right?
Nobody tells me anything.
So keeping you in the dark.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what to say. Yeah. I'm just happy that I got through this without crying or cussing, so that's good.
That's good.
And if people can just be more aware, and we do live in a great town. We have great teachers for our kids. We are very fortunate. We are very fortunate for what we do have here, being a small community.
And Nikki?
So thankful for where I'm at and what we're going through. And, they say that God only gives you what you can handle. I hope he helps me handle what I've been given. And I still think you got the wrong house, because there are a lot better people out there. I could be a better mama to that boy, but nobody's going to love him more than me. But wow, it's amazing. It's a journey. And again, to the people who work with our kids, not because they have to, but because they choose to, God bless you and thank you so much. And boy, I sound like a preacher. This is not me. I'm supposed to cuss because I keep getting messages. Get the dump button ready. I didn't cuss, right? I'm good?
Nope.
All right. I thank you so much for Fort Recovery Radio for having us. This is really important to us. We live this every minute of every day. And to be able to have this platform, we really appreciate it.
And it will be in the archives probably later tonight, definitely by tomorrow. So you can let people know they can go and access that. And
grandparents, beware. No. Here we go.
And I just want to say for sure that parents, especially of high school and elementary kids, please encourage your kids not to look at these kids and make fun of them, whether it's autism, a crippled person, whatever it may be, someone who's different from you, just make sure that you are tolerating other people and differences, because we're all different. Some people are way too tall and people make fun of them, or especially girls when they're 6 feet tall in the eighth grade, they get, you know, that can be a little tough for them, or somebody that's crippled, or somebody has a whatever it may be that makes them different. Just don't, just make sure your kids discipline them if they are making fun of other kids. That is just the wrong thing.
But they can throw stones at Bubba.
I was going to suggest that.
That's not nice.
Jack, I was going to say, leave it to the adults.
Were you listening to anything I said?
Yeah, we're talking Bubba here.
Yeah.
But it's still... You weren't listening to that thing I said.
I'm sorry.
It's brothers. You're allowed to do that.
That's right. So I tell you what, ladies, it has been an honor and a pleasure.
We'll be back next year in April. Write it down.
Well, you know what? Let's not even wait that long.
Okay.
That's a really good idea.
I tell you what.
We have a lot of things that didn't get said today.
Yeah, we do.
A lot.
I would actually like my kids to talk about it, because it's very hard for my kids. Because I asked them tonight, do you want to come and talk about autism? And my kids were... Pete was like, under his breath, Asperger's. Because somebody told him he had Asperger's. He was online playing a game with somebody, and somebody said, do you have Asperger's? And he comes downstairs, he goes, Mom, what is that? I said, oh, buddy, we need to have a talk. So there we are. My mom's online buying every book that was ever printed about how to talk to your kid about autism and Asperger's. And I'm trying to explain it to him. I mean, it is so hard for him to even wrap his head around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, you know what? Maybe that's okay, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is what it is, buddy.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
Well, I tell you what, ladies, we will definitely see you guys on here again. It has been a pleasure. You all have my
admiration, I think, is what you're thinking
wallet?
Of.
Wallet? Is that what you were thinking of?
Nope.
You all have my charge card.
Darn!
Nope.
And I tell you what, for Jack Stogler and Amy Klingscher and Carly Stogler and Nikki Hawk, this has been Insight. We'll be back with Bub and Fee on Sports Talk right after this.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the Ford Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.